Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
But honestly, I don't really identify as human.
I'm tired of being humanized for the comfort of other people.
God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Whatever mistakes you make in the future, you have immunity. Thus spoke the talk show host. This is Wretched Radio. By virtue of my office, no matter what you do in the future, you break a law, it's a speeding ticket, you are now immune because I said so. Hey, if the president can do it, why can't the rest of us skirt justice and make people immune from having the legal system run its due course? Happy Inauguration Day. Let's see if we experience what I am seeing an awful lot of people are saying. For instance, Mr. Kid Rock. Is his first name really Kid? That's unusual. Is his last name Rock? Mr. Kid Rock said it's palpable. You can feel it in the air that things have changed. I don't know what sensors he has, but have they? No. We're hoping the economy's going to get better, don't we? We're hoping the borders will be dealt with like a nation should. We're hoping that our military is strong so that our children, our grandchildren, can live safely without having to practice crawling underneath a desk for fear of an A-bomb being dropped. We want those things, but will a new administration bring about a new morality? Josh Howley, writing for WNG, pleading with the president, please be pro-life. It is understood that today he is going to sign 200 executive orders. And I have a confession to make. I wish we did away with that for everybody. That is ruling by fiat. Nevertheless, will there be any pro-life initiatives? For instance, will Mexico City be signed, forbidding funding to go to organizations internationally that perform abortions? We don't want our money going to kill babies. Will HHS be allowed to give money to pro-life clinics? I'd prefer the government weren't involved in any of that, frankly, but nevertheless, if that's how the game is being played, I hope that the rules will include receiving government funds for pro-life ministries, not just pro-abortion ministries. I wish Planned Parenthood received zero money in the future. That would be the preference. The question, of course, is, will we be seeing some pro-life legislation? Will we see executive orders that save babies' lives? I hope so. Regardless of the type of legislation the new president signs, is he going to fix a single human heart? Will he change the morality of a single individual? And the answer to that question is no. He has power, but it is a limited power. That's by God's design, by the way. It is the government's job to bear the sword. It is the government's job to have an orderly society where you and I can live peaceably among men as much as it is possible with us. That's their job. They can't fix the heart. They can't take a single progressive who is wonky when it comes to gender and sexuality issues and convert them to right thinking. There's one entity that has the message and that has the power to go about the business of affecting actual change. So yeah, I see that we're seeing some more politicians speak a little bit more overtly about their faith. Cool. I see more people being a little bit bold about rejecting some of the progressive accusations that are made against anybody who tries to be somewhat conservative. Cool. And I'm grateful for those. Don't get me wrong. I'm grateful for those. But I also know that while those things we should be grateful for, It's not good. That's not the revival our nation needs. The revival our nation needs is to know who the real one in authority is. the one to whom all emperors should bow. And by the way, will bow. The only entity that has the message that will change the way that people believe, thus changing the way they think, it's you and me, Saint. So let's enjoy these moments. Let's be grateful. If we have more peace and if there's more prosperity, we're grateful for those things. But let us not lay down our arms, because it is the gospel that needs to be proclaimed to this nation, and we can't be deceived. Okay, we're good. Okay, great. Stock market is up. We still need to go and make disciples. The economy, whoa, it's roaring. We still need to go and make disciples. We can't be lulled into a sense of all is well, because the reality is it's not well on a spiritual level, and it's no time for the church to rest. So happy Inauguration Day. And might I add, happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day, although I don't know exactly, I never know what that means. Happy Labor Day. Well, okay. What do you do? How are people celebrating today other than not working? By the way, one of the great ironies in human history, Labor Day, nobody goes to work. Hello, it's Labor Day. Maybe I'm confused about something. The point is, it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Last week, actually on this day, Virgil Walker of G3 Ministries joined us. We did a special webinar to talk about the theology of Martin Luther King Jr. And I was, first of all, Virgil just killed it. You're going to hear that in a moment. But the questions that were asked afterwards from the people that were online watching it on the YouTube machine surprised me, because they were asking about, okay, our church has been asked to march in a Martin Luther King Jr. parade. Should we do that or not? And it's like, oh, wow. I didn't know that that was a dynamic that a church had to wrangle with. And we need to remember as Christians that theology matters, and that there was more to Martin Luther King Jr. than civil rights. He was a reverend. And we can never think for a second that one's religion is disconnected from their worldview, because your religion should be your worldview. But in this instance, it most certainly informed his civil rights activism. And we do well to study it. And what you're about to hear from Virgil, who was asked a number of questions by Jason Allen, he's the one who heads up our fellows program, his theology on the essential issues, not secondary stuff, on essential issues. Problem.
Let's first look at the virgin birth. So what did King believe about the virgin birth?
What I wanted to do in this section is I really wanted to make sure that I accurately state what King said about these issues. So rather than pontificating about why he landed where he landed, I really wanted to go back to primary source documentation as it relates to King. And when I think about Dr. King, I'll say this briefly, that I can't think of any civilian American citizen who's been better documented than Martin Luther King. You can go back to Stanford. They have files and files of his writings. But as it pertains particularly to the virgin birth, this is what King wrote when he was a student at Crozier Theological Seminary. He says this, quote, "First, we must admit that the evidence for the tenability of this doctrine," and he's speaking of the doctrine of the virgin birth, "is too shallow to convince any objective thinker. To begin with, the earliest written documents in the New Testament make no mention of the virgin birth. Moreover, the Gospel of Mark, the most primitive and authentic of the four, gives not the slightest suggestion of the virgin birth," end quote. Now, this is from a paper that he wrote while he was at Crozier Theological Seminary. The paper is titled, "What Experiences of Christians Living in the Early Christian Century led to the Christian Doctrines of the Divine Sonship of Jesus, the Virgin Birth, and the Bodily Resurrection." So anyone can access this. This is not me coming up with an idea about what King thought or here's my interpretation of what he taught. Stated in his own words very clearly, he questioned not just the virgin birth, but many of the miraculous aspects of the testimony that we have in Scripture as it relates to anything associated with the miraculous.
By the way, we learned the reason for that is because of his, here comes our word, hermeneutic. He was a higher critic. When you hear higher criticism, think man is higher than the Bible. And we critique what is in and what is out, and what is typically out from liberal higher critics, which Martin Luther King Jr. would, he called himself, he was a proponent of higher criticism. I believe he said that in 1959, that also while he was in seminary. And he was an individual who said that we need to go through and understand the author's experience, where they're coming from, why they're doing these things, what's going on, so that you and I can stand above the Bible and glean what we think we should be receiving as any sort of word from God. That's higher criticism. And with that, guess what goes flying out the window? The supernatural. And that is why Martin Luther King Jr. was able to deny what was obvious in the Bible, the virgin birth of our Savior. But alas, or a lad, if you're still into genders, more theology from Martin Luther King Jr. next on Wretched.
Are you looking for biblical answers to life's toughest questions? Are you tired of shallow solutions that don't lead to real change? Welcome to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. Every week, Dr. Gifford brings you deep practical wisdom from God's Word, showing how Scripture provides the framework for genuine transformation in your life, in your family, and in your walk with Christ. Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. It's available at Fortis Plus and on all major podcast platforms. You can find out more about Transform and Dr. Greg Gifford now at fortisinstitute.org.
We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Thanks to faithful supporters just like you, our new Fortis Institute podcasts aren't just reaching people, they're making waves. Every single one of our new shows ranks at least in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide, some climbing even higher than that. But here's the thing, we can't continue this vital work without your help. Just visit fortisinstitute.org right now. That's fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God, but let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at fortisplus.org or all major podcast platforms.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Know your church fathers. Gregory of Nyssa was an opponent of Arianism at the Council of Constantinople in 381. He wrote a book called Not Three Gods, explaining that there is one God in three persons. Each member of the Trinity is fully God, with all the divine attributes, yet each member of the Trinity is a distinct person. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sorry, perhaps I assumed this is Wretched Radio. If you didn't get the reference, why I would make the imperious claim that all of your crimes that you're going to commit in the future will be pardoned because I'm a talk show host. It was an allusion to our former president. Oh, I like the sound of that. Former President Joe Biden forgiving the crimes that nobody's actually been accused of yet in the future. So he gave a presidential pardon to people like the J6 committee, Anthony Fauci. Hey, wait a second. What? How can he pardon them? They haven't been accused of anything. So he's actually used the office in the last second to say, nobody can bring an accusation against them in the future under the guise. I don't often act as a political pundit, but I'm going to right now, just mark my words on this. If this pardon stands legally, that they have immunity to any accusations and the justice system cannot touch them or even try them because of this presidential order. If that does stand and somebody does try to say, we think some laws were broken by Liz Cheney, they're going to say they're just going for revenge. Mark my words, because that is the package that they put this presidential pardon in out of fear of revenge. We're giving future immunity to these people. I don't know if that's legal, but I do know a narrative when I smell one. And progressives are very good at creating narratives. They're good. If any of these people are tried or they're brought up on charges, it's motivated by revenge. Mark my words. But we're not talking politics per se. We're talking theology, specifically the theology of Martin Luther King Jr. It is his day federally. And we certainly have interest in his civil rights worldview, but we have far more interest in his theology. We want to know what this reverend believes. So we invited Virgil Walker from G3 Ministries to do a YouTube video. Jason Allen, he's our director of the Fellows Program here at Fortas Institute, talking about the theology of Martin Luther King Jr. Chances are pretty good you haven't heard this.
What did King believe about the deity of Christ?
Yeah, the deity of Christ is critical, because this is at the point at which we know whether or not you're a Christian, whether you're a follower of Christ. If you don't hold to the divinity of Christ, I would definitely argue that you are outside of orthodoxy. In yeah. his paper written called Humanity and Divinity and the Divinity of Jesus, King writes this, quote, "The orthodox attempt to explain the divinity of Jesus in terms of an inherent metaphysical substance within him seems to me quite inadequate. To say that Christ is divine in an ontological sense is actually harmful and detrimental." So let me say that again.
Before he does, please go read the Chalcedonian Creed 451, I believe. This issue, it's been dealt with. And this wasn't a bunch of power hunger. There was no power to be had in the 5th century. These were not theologians who got together to club others who they thought were outside of Christology. Instead, they wrangled with the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. How did this work? The question was not, is Jesus Christ fully man? That's clear in the Bible. He was a man just like you and I are. Slept. Ate. This was a real person. But the Bible is also clear. He's fully God. In fact, I stumbled over one. I could be wrong about this, but that's okay. I've pardoned myself for any future mistakes. Wow. To have that kind of power. I was reading last night through Matthew 21. That's where we happen to be at Alpha at a Bible Church. We're making our way through the Gospel of Matthew. And the Pharisees are getting really angry at Jesus. Rightly so. He's just poking them in the eyes. And not just to be a provocateur, but rightly so, demolishing their religious system. And they ask him a question. Hey, who do you think you are? Where do you get this authority from to go about the business of turning over tables And why are these children in the temple crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David? And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said to them, yes, but have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? That's a psalm. That's talking about God. Psalm 8, I think verse 2. So Jesus is saying, haven't you heard that this can happen, that children can sing the praises of God? To whom were those children singing their praises? To Jesus. I think this was yet another statement of divinity, because it's clear in the Bible. It's not just the big stuff. It's not just the I am statements. It is all over the place that Jesus is making claims of deity in a far more profound and defensible way than just announcing, I am God. And so we know that he's fully man. We know that he's fully God. And the early church, they wrangled. Okay, it's hard for us to make sense of this. 100% man, 100% God. But they did. And by the way, when you read through the creeds, the biblical support is crazy. Same thing when you read any of the old confessional statements. Crazy biblical support. They have so many verses cited, so that you know this is not just a bunch of guys who concocted this stuff. And so in the 5th century, unlike what Martin Luther King Jr. would believe, they wrangled through it and they said he's fully God, fully man. The two natures, fully God, fully human, fully divine, don't mix. They don't mingle. They don't cross over. This is the ontological nature of Jesus Christ. And the creed concludes, and if you don't get this, you're not a part of the kingdom. You're not a Christian. Why? Because they knew that the Bible was adamant about Christology. First of all, Christ was adamant about Christology. And remember his debates in John? If you don't know the Father, you don't know the Father, because you don't know me. If you knew the Father, you'd know me. Christology was in view. And then the same one who recorded that, John, in 1 John, if you do not understand the Christ correctly, you are outside of orthodoxy, 1 John 2. Martin Luther King Jr., he said, nah, they just kind of created those systems, but they just don't make sense.
He said to say that Christ is divine in an ontological sense is actually harmful and detrimental, so that the orthodox view of the divinity of Christ, in my mind, is quite readily denied. And that's how he ends that quote. Let me quote again from the same paper. He says this, quote, we may find the divinity of Christ not in his substantial unity with God, but in his filial consciousness and in his unique dependence upon God.
Wow, that's fascinating. And it's interesting that let me just see if I've got this word right, that he used substance, because that was a creedal word, by the way, consubstantial. Same substance, the homoousius,
in my mind, is quite readily denied. And that's how he ends that quote. Let me quote again from the same paper. He says this, quote, we may find the divinity of Christ not in his substantial unity.
There it is, substantial unity. There it is, right there. That's heretical. This was debated. It was one letter. Homoousius, homoousius. Is he a similar substance? Is he same substance? The early church said same. Martin Luther King Jr. says, disagree. So either all of church history is wrong or Martin Luther King Jr. was wrong. I'm going with the church.
God, but in his filial consciousness.
What is that? And this is more Eastern than it is biblical.
And in his unique dependence upon God. So there are two things at play here. One,
it almost sounds like theosis.
He definitely doesn't believe that Christ is divine in the sense that Orthodox believers, Orthodox Christians, consider him the second person of the Trinity. He doesn't think of anything in the way of a hypostatic union. When he does attribute deity or even, as we'll talk about perhaps later, resurrection power as it relates to Christ rising from the dead, he attributes it in more of this kind of metaphorical idea. And in this instance, in this paper, he's articulating this from a standpoint of Christ is divine in the way that as we as human beings align ourselves with the purposes of God, can achieve or experience the divine nature of God. And so that's kind of how he speaks about the divinity or deity of Christ.
Does that sound biblical to you? It's not. It's outside of orthodoxy. So Jesus, this is another ancient heresy, that Jesus was simply becoming more and more godly, but he wasn't God in flesh. That would set Martin Luther King Jr. well outside of orthodoxy. What difference does it make? Well, if your church is thinking about being in a parade, you need to remember that 3 John warns, don't do anything that gives an endorsement of a false teacher's heresy, because that's what this is. And we also need to understand one's civil rights worldview. It won't be left unscathed by one's religion. If you want to hear all of his theology, courtesy of Virgil Walker, just go to the Wretched/Fortis Institute YouTube machine and you can hear heaps more. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.